All right, let's bring you up to speed with where we're at with the vote counting right now. According to Anadolu State News Agency, this is the official state news agency. This is not the final official results, though. According to their projections of how vote counting is going, Recep Tayyip Erdoğan is still ahead with 52.43% of the vote. Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu is behind him with 47.57% of the vote. This projection is based on 94% of ballot boxes having been opened. So still some ballot boxes to be opened, still some counting to be done. But the majority of ballot boxes have been opened at this point. This is the picture that's emerging. Let's take the conversation now to Sedat Demiralp. She joins us once again. Thanks for coming back. You're professor of political science, as I've been explaining to everyone, at Işık University in Istanbul. Good to have you with us. So, first of all, let's start with these latest projections. Is this getting too difficult to see a Kılıçdaroğlu win at this point? If 94% of the ballot boxes have been opened, and if Anadolu, the official state news agency, is saying there's about 5 points, he's about 5 points behind Tayyip Erdoğan.
Yes, he's about 5 points behind, about 2 million votes behind. Pretty much the same pattern we saw in the first round. It's not a gap that cannot be closed, but it looks like Erdoğan is keeping his leading position. So we may see some surprises, but otherwise, if you don't get surprised, it looks like Erdoğan is going to keep his leading position in the end of the second round.
To have a surprise, as you put it, Seda, tell us, what does that mean? Does that mean he needs to win virtually every vote in every remaining ballot box that hasn't been opened yet? What's that, about 6% of ballot boxes that haven't been opened? I just want to get a sense of how mammoth a surprise he needs right now.
A change in Istanbul and Ankara, for instance, right? Over the past 30 minutes, we saw Kılıçdaroğlu increasing his votes in Istanbul. So he's ahead right now in Istanbul. He wasn't half an hour ago. And in Ankara, he is closing the gap, is increasing his votes as well. So in crowded cities like Istanbul and Ankara, or maybe crowded cities in the southeast like Diyarbakır, his votes may increase more than expected over the next couple hours. That could lead to a change in the election results, but otherwise...
So he needs to win the big cities, is what
you're
saying.
He needs to win the big cities, and there is a change we observe in the big cities, while we don't see much of a change in the other cities. So the change, if there's going to be a change, it will come from the big cities, it looks like.
But that looks like a hard ask, right? It looks like Recep Tayyip Erdoğan is in a much more comfortable position right now.
That is right. That is right.
Right. All right. You've talked to us a little bit about how it's shaping up in the cities. Let's talk a little bit about how it's shaping up nationally. Any surprises in other areas so far from the distribution of votes as we've seen them?
Well, we saw that the turnout is a little bit lower than the first round, but not dramatically lower. But in the southeast, we saw a more observable decline in the turnout. It looks like Kurds were not enthusiastic about the rising nationalist tone of the Kılıçdaroğlu campaign in the second round. That's something we could say so far.
All right, Seda, always good talking to you. Thanks so much for sharing your perspective on this. Sure. So here we have it. It's gone up to 95% of ballot boxes having been opened. So they're getting on with it. Still a lead by about 5 points for Recep Tayyip Erdoğan. Let's go over to Rasul Sardar. He joins us live from the presidential palace in Ankara. Rasul, how are they reacting to this?
Well, there is a kind of celebration mood here. We have seen just a little ago, there was a quite loud music that just started here. And there are the preparations on the way for Erdoğan's balcony speech. So traditionally, he will deliver that speech on the balcony of the AK Party's headquarters in Ankara. But this time, he has decided to address his supporters and also the nation in case if he wins from the presidential palace here. So, Sami, according to the presidential sources, according to their own system, so far around 95% of the votes have been counted, and President Erdogan, according to them, is leading by 52.4% of the votes. So that's why now they're almost sure that Erdogan is going to finish this election by being re-elected, and then saying that after 4 decades in politics and after two decades being in power, the leader of the country as prime minister and then as the president, he is once again showing that it's almost impossible to defeat him in the ballot boxes, despite all of the odds, one of the highest inflation rates in the world, skyrocketing prices, and also one of the biggest disaster, natural disaster that just happened over 4 months ago that killed more than 50,000 people in Turkey, the twin earthquakes. Despite all of that odds, it seems that Erdogan held his ground and opposition failed to convince people that they will be able to do better than Erdogan.
Rasul, is there something for us to talk about here in terms of the pivot towards the nationalist camp? We saw both candidates try and reach out to nationalists. They made their pitches. And here, with 95% of voting boxes having been opened, Recep Tayyip Erdogan is ahead. Something to be said about who reached out to which camp within the nationalists?
Sami, as of now, looking at the difference, so not only the percentage of the votes, but also the difference, the number of the votes here. In the first round, President Erdogan finished the first round by 2.5 million votes difference. So now, as of now, by 95% of the votes being counted, we see that that difference is smaller. So it is 2.3 million. And in that sense, many of the experts here are saying that it seems that the nationalist votes, 60% of the nationalist votes went to Kılıçdaroğlu, and around 40% of the votes went to President Erdogan. But here, one of the other interesting thing is that, as of now, it's not clear. However, some of the experts are claiming on that, and they're saying that the Kurdish voters, which were the other swing votes, that the number of the Kurdish voters who went to the ballot box was a little bit lesser than the previous one. So in this sense, we can see also a slight decrease in the turnout as well. But at the end of the day, we can say that comfortably, we can say that almost the nationalist votes were divided half and half. So during the second round of the campaign, we have seen that both leaders, both President Erdogan and the opposition leader Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, have tried very hard to appeal to these nationalist votes, because it was roughly more than 5.2%, and that was the factor that forced the election to go to the second round. So winning their support, many people were believing that they're going to be the kingmakers, and their support is going to determine the outcome here. So now we can see that both have half failed and half succeeded.
All right, Rasul, and I'm guessing they're probably quite happy there in the presidential palace and amongst AK Party supporters that their candidate is ahead so far. We have to underscore this is so far. But we're getting towards the end, I think, of the ballot box opening session. How are they reacting, though, to the indication we're getting that there isn't going to be, perhaps, a big chance of a landslide, a huge landslide victory for Recep Tayyip Erdogan?
Absolutely. So here we can still say that it's a neck-and-neck race. However, even the first round of the election has shown us that it is, from now on, it's not that much easy for President Erdogan to comfortably win every election. However, still the number is almost around, according to simulations, is almost around the same number that he got, the same figure that he received in 2018 during the presidential election. So we can say that he is holding his ground. But on the other hand, as for the first time, we have seen a broad coalition of the opposition. So six parties came together and choose the Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu as the unity leader to defeat Erdogan. So as Erdogan is holding his ground, we can see that slightly the opposition has succeeded to increase its vote. So that is the new trend. So in that sense, it seems that Erdogan is going to win, according to some simulations, by something around 52%. However, that doesn't mean that there are no challenges for him. So the economy definitely is going to be one of the main tasks for him. And the political division in the country is also another issue. And also delivering on promises as well, because there are hundreds of thousands of people, particularly in the eastern, southeastern part of Turkey, those who were affected by the earthquakes are still waiting their houses to be delivered and so on. As I said, from now on, for Erdogan, it's not going to be that much easy to win the elections. However, we can comfortably say that after 40 years in politics and more than two decades in power as prime minister and president, he's still able to convince his supporters. So that is quite interesting, because he has been the one who could build emotional connections between himself and his supporters more than any other leader in Turkey.
All right, thanks so much. Rasul Sardar reporting to us there from Ankara, from the presidential palace. Let's go to the other side of the divide, so to speak. We can go to Hashim Ahlabarra. He's also in Ankara, but he's with the CHP, the opposition party headquarters. And Hashim, looking at the numbers, looking at where we're standing right now, 96%. It's gone up to 96% of ballot boxes have been counted at this point, Hashim, according to the state official Anadolu News Agency. And Tayyip Erdogan is still about 5 points ahead of Kılıçdaroğlu. Do they still think they have a chance to pull this one off? What's the mood there?
They remain still cautious, Sami, saying that they have to wait. Even the news agency, which is close to the opposition, is saying now that President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is leading with something like 1.5 million votes. At 95% of the vote count. But the opposition says that they will have to wait until all the ballots are counted before they make an announcement. They still believe this is neck and neck, and they say we'll have to wait. They did understand from earlier that this is going to be an extremely difficult challenge for them. Basically, how to be able to win the hearts and minds of at least 2.8 million votes to be able to bridge the gap between them and President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, particularly following the results of the first round. And then they saw that the only way for them was to win the hearts and minds of the ultra-nationalist vote, or hoping for a voter turnout exceeding 92%. When you look at all the indications that we have so far, we're not expecting the voter turnout to be higher than 86%, and it's going to be difficult for them to bridge that gap with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. But officially, as far as the Turkish opposition, the alliance of six opposition parties known as the Table of Six, they say we still have to wait.
And Hashim, are they reflecting on the strategy of cozying up to nationalist figures like Ümit Özdağ and how that might have impacted their understandings with the Kurdish voters?
Well, basically, Sami, so when they looked at the figures they had during the first round of the election, they were hoping to convince all the ultra-nationalists to join their camp and move forward, offering them what they say is going to be a better vision for Turkey based on radical reforms of the economy, of the political system, restoring parliamentary system and putting an end to executive presidency. The first setback for them was when Sinan Oğan said that he's going to endorse President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Then they thought maybe not everybody was going to fall in line with Sinan Oğan, and that Ümit Özdağ, leader of the Victory Party, which is a member of the ATA alliance led by Sinan Oğan, will vote for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. But even that was not going to be enough for them to bridge the gap with President Recep Tayyip Erdoğan. And if you look at the last few days of the election campaign, we saw a totally different Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu embracing more of an anti-immigration rhetoric, saying that as soon as elected president, he will send all the refugees back home. The reason why he has been focusing on that particular message, hammering all that narrative about the need to embrace a tough policy when it comes to immigration, because he understood that his future will rely ultimately on whether he will be able to win the hearts and minds of the ultra-nationalists. Although his advisors were pretty much skeptical, concerned that getting closer to the ultra-nationalists will ultimately cost him the sympathy and the votes of the Kurds, and particularly of the HDP party. And as you know, this was definitely going to be a delicate task for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, which is rallying the support of all the political factions, which are completely divided about a wide range of issues, and telling them, please just stay together, give me your votes. Once elected president, I'll give you everything you want. Now, when you talk to his own people, they say it's still a remarkable journey for the man who managed to build together a coalition of six political parties, come to the first round of the election, get something like 45% of the national vote, something which is unprecedented for the CHP, and they still believe this is a tight race. They still believe that they managed in a way or another to build bridges with different factions of the society. Now, I have to tell you that when I was talking to many members of the party, Sami, you could tell they were really aware about the fact that this is going to be an extremely difficult way forward for them, that it's going to be extremely difficult to convince people to vote for them. We'll have to wait and see what happens next. As soon as they come out with an official statement about the final results, that's when we have to wait and see what would be the next move forward for the opposition. And as you said, it is going to be more about the future of the opposition and also the future of Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the man who said, because of his background, because of his years as a veteran member of parliament, as an economist, he had the keys to solve all the problems of Turkey. And he said it's that reputation that will help him bridge the gap and reach out to the Turkish people. We'll have to wait and see what he will have to say tonight.
We will have to wait and see, Hashim, but there's a key point here as well. I guess you could say on the plus side for the opposition, because, well, the way things are looking right now, it doesn't look very well. It looks better for the incumbent, for President Recep Tayyip Erdoğan, I think we can definitely say that, than it does look for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, with almost 97% of ballot boxes open and still a 5-point lead for Recep Tayyip Erdoğan. When you speak with opposition supporters at this point, do you get any sense of satisfaction in at least the fact that we're very unlikely to see a huge landslide victory for the president who they've been challenging?
Sami, this is no longer the same momentum, the same vibe, the same mood that we had during the first round of the election when the opposition was 100% certain they would be able to make history and the era of President Recep Tayyip Erdoğan start a new one. When I was talking to people in May, they were saying something different. They thought, first of all, that people in Turkey will vote with their wallets, and that because of the economy, which is in tatters, people will vote for the opposition. That in the earthquake-hit areas, people will vote for the opposition. And that the message about the need to reform the country, fix the economy, change the political system, is going to resonate among millions and millions of Turkish people. And this explains why, if you remember in May, the opposition was saying it's a new chapter, it's an historic vote, it's the beginning of a new era. They did understand right after the results of the first round, that a runoff is an uncharted territory, not only for President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, because this is the first time it happens in Turkey, but also for the opposition. And their biggest concern was to maintain the power base, their support base, ask them to come and vote in huge numbers for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. Two, they wanted to convince the ultra-nationalists. Three, they wanted to build bridges with the undecided voters. Four, they were hoping that some of the supporters of Recep Tayyip Erdogan would change their minds and vote for the opposition. And when you look at all those options, it gives you an indication of the mammoth task facing the opposition, of the uphill climb facing Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. But his supporters, despite the fact that they understand this is going to be extremely difficult, they remain determined. They say, we made the right choice. We voted for the man we think will change the country. We voted for the man we think will restore democracy. We voted for the man who will build bridges with the US and the Europeans. Just a while ago, the spokesperson of the party said, our win will usher in a new spring, a spring of democracy in Turkey. So that gives you an idea about the hopes that they have been harboring over the last few months and weeks, hoping that tonight would be the moment when they would tell the Turkish people history is being made. But when you look at the figures, the latest updates, even from the news agency close to them, you're getting the indication that the people of Turkey decided to vote for his rival.